Our reading this evening is from Luke chapter 9. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and it went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came. It overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. And our second reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. St. Peter writes, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me a way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
In the name of Jesus, amen. I'll make 3 points, and if you want to stop me in between any of the points, you can, with questions or thoughts. But point number one is verse 28 and verse 29. Jesus takes with him Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, his clothing became dazzling white. You see that this story has Jesus centered around praying. Jesus is centered around praying. It's who he was. I mean, he is God himself, and yet he prays. It's something that always. So in Jesus' baptism, Jesus is praying before he's baptized, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. Here on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is praying. He goes on the mountain to pray. He's praying on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." He's praying before they cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Take this cup from me." Jesus is constantly found to be praying. And he is God himself, right? He doesn't need to pray, but he does. To stay connected with his Father, to hear his words, how much more do we need to do that too? And Jesus is praying for us as well. The second point is Moses and Elijah appear, so both dead, right? They appear on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and Jesus, and then they start talking with Jesus. And the thing that they start talking with about Jesus in verse 31 is about his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. What are they talking about here? His departure. His departure out of what? That's right. That's right. His departure from the earth. His death. This is an amazing sort of thing. So how many people do you know that if they're dying, they won't say it? Or if they think they know somebody who's dying, they won't talk about it. This is what Moses and Elijah and Jesus want to talk about. They want to talk about Jesus' death. Jesus' death. It says Jesus' departure. In the Greek, it says Jesus' exodus, which brings to mind all things of the exodus of the Old Testament, too. All things that find their fulfillment in Christ. So they go and they're delivered in the Exodus. Who are they delivered from? Or what are they delivered from? They're delivered from slavery. They're delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians. And what's Jesus' death going to do for us? It's going to deliver us from sin, from the slavery to sin. And interestingly enough, Hebrews has it from the slavery to the fear of death. Now, we can still be afraid of death, but with Jesus with us, we don't fear death nearly the same way as we would and without. We know that our death is now a departure out into something much more glorious, much, much better. And sometimes we know people who are dying and we feel bad for them. And that is always the wrong reaction if they're Christians, right? We should be like, whoa, you're lucky. We don't want to die. And if Jesus wants us here, then we want to be here too. But if Jesus wants us to take us to himself, then we want to go. What a blessed thing. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. What a wonderful gift. No more walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Only green pastures, all tears wiped away. No more pain, no more struggle, no more struggle in the self with sin. What a joy, right? And this is what they're talking about. They're talking about Jesus's exodus that's going to be accomplished in Jerusalem. And then the final thing is verse 35. So many other things we could talk about too in the text, but verse 35, the cloud comes, the voice from the cloud says, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And we've considered this before, right? How many voices did you hear today? How many voices did you hear this past week? How many voices have you heard in your life, right? So many voices of so many things that could be saying so much, but then above all those voices, you put at the top the voice of Jesus. Because those other voices don't define you. Jesus defines you. Those other voices don't get to tell you your future. Jesus gets to tell you your future. Those other voices don't get to tell you what your hope is built on. Jesus does. Listen to him. And then I gave you this passage from 2 Peter chapter 1. How do we listen to him? So if you want to go look and kind of dig around your Bibles, take it home, you can look at around 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, because this is Peter, and Peter was there. Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is Peter talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter wants us to know that we have a more sure word of prophecy, where we do well to take heed as to a light that shineth in the dark place. You know, so he got to see Jesus transfigured, and he's saying, you have something better. You have the Bible. Does that make sense? So pay attention to it as to a lamp that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star rises in your hearts. So that's Luke's version of the Mount of Transfiguration. It's a glorious story. What stuck out for you? What comforted you? What did you hear? What did you hear as you heard the reading? What did you hear as you heard the meditation?
Just going back to verse 35, this is my son, my chosen one, listen to him.
Right. It's something to stick with you all week long. Take you to work tomorrow, bring you back home, take you to the hospital, take you to the other hospital.
Take
you to the other hospital. That's right. That's right.
I don't know, one thing that sort of stuck out with me was, you know, each time that Jesus does a teaching or he's out teaching, he always have those three.
Right.
Peter, James, and John.
Right.
All the time. It's nobody else. And it just, you know, sometimes you sort of wonder, well, is he giving them the more in depth?
Yeah.
They understand it better. They can explain it and, you know, write it down better than because they see it all and they can put it out, you know, in those words.
Right.
And then whenever he was on the mountain, and the other two people that joined, Moses and Elijah, it could have been, you know, anybody, but then it was Moses and Elijah.
Right.
And only thing I can really figure about that one, Moses was the one that went on the mountain to talk to God and receive the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And he changed.
Hmm?
And his appearance changed.
Right.
Yeah, his appearance changed then because he was so bright, he wore something over his head.
Right.
Because, you know, people couldn't, they didn't really want to look at him.
Right.
And Elijah, I'm still trying to figure out that guy. It's in little bits and pieces with him. But it's you know, it's just something about, it's like their life has something to really, you know, tell you about it.
Right, why those two?
They were dead, so they was resurrected, you know, then.
Right.
And they just disappeared again.
So, and Moses' face did change too. Yeah. And it's a fascinating sort of thing. So Moses' face changed because he comes in the presence of God. Jesus' face does more. So it's Moses on steroids, right? Because it's like his face is changing from the inside out. Moses' face changed kind of like the moon, you know? It was reflecting God's glory as he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses isn't God, but he comes into contact with God and his face glows. Jesus is God, and so he's glowing, you know? He's glowing out, too.
But then his face, you know, it went back to normal, where they said it wasn't glowing all that much no more, so he stopped wearing
it does.
You know, the thing over his face. But Jesus, his, if you really look at it, his glows all the time.
And for the why the Moses and Elijah, I think the clearest thing is that Moses and Elijah quickly kind of become representatives of the law and the prophets, which is going to be all the Old Testament. Okay. So Moses is responsible for the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You could have named that, right? Yeah. And so Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they point to Jesus, right? And then the rest of them are the prophets. And key of the prophets is going to be Elijah. So he's going to represent the rest. He's going to rest the rest of the Old Testament there. And that points to Jesus too. So that's what I've heard too. There's no other. So like when Jesus dies and he rises from the dead and he begins to explain to the Emmaus disciples of who he is, he begins with Moses and the Psalms and the prophets. Going on from there too. Listen to him. No. Why do you think they were sleepy? You catch that in verse 32? It's a heavy sleep. I think, you know, how do you feel after going to a concert? Or how do you feel after going to a basketball game, a fun basketball game? What's that? You still pumped up? But then, like, you crash. You know, that's what I'm, you get exhausted. And that's kind of what I picture. Like, picture
that
would
this. That
would
be a marathon.
Well, see, I think this is like not a physical exhaustion. I think it's like a whoa, you know, and
excited.
You know, and then you're just mm-hmm. crash afterwards too.
Okay. I can see that.
I don't know, but it doesn't say. The heavy, because that heavy was sleep.
What is it? End of 33, let us make 3 tents.
Right.
But it was more than three of them. So that number three is there to stick out for me.
It is. It is. And I think Peter's wrong in this case. I mean, because it does say that he doesn't know what he's saying. Right, like when I got nervous around my wife at the beginning and I was a bumbling fool, I think Peter's kind of like this, right? He doesn't know what he's saying. He's kind of bumbling. And I think he's wrong, because I think he's saying, you know, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, Jesus. Whereas if you're going to make a tent, you should make one tent, one for Jesus. You know, you don't put them on the same, you don't put them on the same plane.
Level. And that's what it sounds like he did at that point, not thinking.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
But going back to what Aunt was saying about the sleep, the heavy sleep.
Right.
Garden of Gethsemane, when he asked them to stay awake and they couldn't stay awake.
Right. Yeah. It does kind of bring that to mind too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there, and maybe it's the same too.
That's what I'm thinking.
There it's temptation. I mean, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Their flesh is so weak, it just can't do it. This one, maybe it's they're overwhelmed by glory. But I don't know. It is one of those things, because, you know, it doesn't say because of something, so you don't know. But it does bring to mind that too. Other thoughts too? You ever done King James, Maya? Read anything from King James Bible? Can you read that too? See, I always wonder, like, can the young people do the yees and the yees and the things? Yees and thous and these?
That's how the Bible has really changed for everyone now to get a better understanding. Because when we were in confirmation at Sunday school, it was the these.
It was the King James?
I didn't understand nothing they were talking
about. I get them all confused, didn't know which one was which.
I could never get it.
Even still, you know, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed. You know what that says, right? Mm-hmm. As unto a light that shineth, and is too. That's good stuff. Well, let's rise and let's pray.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, hear us as we pray for all those that we now name with our hearts and voices, for the ones sick in body and soul, for the ones near death, for the ones who are mourning, for all mothers and fathers and children, all students and teachers, all those who care for children, all those in vocations of work and our government, and all those that we'll now name with our hearts and voices.
Let's sing the heart. Your companions, your lords.
Cheryl Paul, Jack Gallivan, Patricia Reed.
My name is Mom.
Shirley Stanley. The Pfeiffer family.
Church.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.